And welcome everyone to the Westphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Troubleshooting Guidelines, DLS, SSL Problems in Cast Iron. Our presenter is Vanny Madhupu. Vanny has been working as a Technical Support Exchange engineer on the WebSphere Cast Iron since 2005. In this role, she is responsible for working with WebSphere Cast Iron customers on all three form factors and resolves problems. She has 10-plus years of experience in working with customers and focuses on customer escalations. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vanny.
Right. Thanks, Kathy. And thanks, everybody on the phone, for joining today's session on troubleshooting guidelines for TLS SSL problems in WebSphere Cast Iron. We observed that most TLS SSL problems in Cast Iron are due to improper configuration. So the object of this presentation is, number one, to explain the terms and concepts required for a proper configuration in Cast Iron to establish a successful TLS SSL session. Number two, provide the diagnostic steps to help troubleshooting the TLS SSL problems in Cast Iron. These diagnostic steps are discussed for four scenarios mentioned here. Server authentication with Cast Iron in the client role, server authentication with Cast Iron in the server role, mutual authentication with Cast Iron in client role, and mutual authentication with Cast Iron in server role. And then we will discuss the SSL considerations for different form factors of Cast Iron. That includes cloud solution, which is Cast Iron Lite, and Cast Iron Studio. Then we briefly discuss the new feature introduced in V7 related to security, which is crypto service. And then we have the summary. And finally, we open up the lines for Q&A. Kathy, slide 3, please. Here, I just want to quickly go through a couple of terms that will be used in this presentation. First, SSL, Secured Socket Layer. The original name of the protocol developed by Netscape for securing network communication at the TCP layer. Then TLS, Transport Layer Security. This is the new name of the protocol given by IETF. This obsoletes SSL. Throughout this presentation, SSL should be taken generically to mean either SSL, TSL, or both without regards of version. And then certificate. Throughout this presentation, this means digital certificate as described by the X509 standard. And a certificate is an attachment to an electronic message. This is to verify that the user sending a message is who he claims to be. And PKI, public key infrastructure. It is a set of hardware, software, people, policies, and procedures needed to create, manage, distribute, use, store, and revoke the digital certificates. And then certificate authority. A certificate authority is an authority in the network that issues and manages security credentials and public keys for message encryption. So some popular ones are Symantec, Thought, DigiCert, etc. Chart 4, please. So let's see the certificates in Cast Iron. First one is factory supplied identity. In Web Management Console, WMC, if you go to Security Certificates page, in the Key Store section on the top, you can see the alias factory supplied identity. This is a self-signed certificate generated on the first boot of the physical or hypervisor appliance and when a live tenant environment is provisioned and when the studio is installed. A certificate is called self-signed when the issued to and issued by fields are the same. We can see this in detail in the coming charts. And this factory supplied identity is a self-signed cert, and it has an associated private key. These are stored together in the key store. and it represents the cast iron endpoint to its SSL peer, so at least until a different certificate and private key is imported or generated on the appliance. Chart 5, please. Cast iron has all the well-known certificate authorities certificates installed on the if it is a on the first boot of the physical or hypervisor appliance, or when a live tenant environment is provisioned, and when a studio is installed. So the well-known CA certificates are obtained from the Java runtime environment. So cast iron has all the CA certs in IBM JRE. These certs are stored in the trust store. Chart 6, please. And all cast iron live offerings have a publicly accessible website that requires HTTPS. For example, the cast iron live URL is https://cloud2.castiron.com. So these websites need a certificate signed by a well-known CA. Otherwise, you will see the pop-ups in your browser saying that the site is not trusted. And cast iron uses the same certificate for all cloud websites. And most browsers allow you to see the certificate details of a site you connect to. For example, in Internet Explorer, you can click on the lock icon, which is next to the URL, to see the certificate details. So here is a screenshot of the certificate details when used in Cast Iron Live. So you can also view the certificate general content. That is in the next slide. Chart 7, please. So here is the general content of the certificate. So you can see here that issued to and issued by sections. So basically, the distinguished names are different. So all the fields under the issued to and issued by makes a distinguished name to identify an entity. It's also called DN. So we can see here, since these two are different, the organization is here for issued to is IBM Corporation and issued by the organization is DISI Cert. So since these two are different, it's not a self-signed cert. And another thing you can also observe here is the common name is star.castiron.com. This is called a wildcard cert since it has that star. A wildcard SSL certificate secures your website URL and an unlimited number of its subdomains as well. For example, a single wildcard certificate can secure both cloud2.castiron.com and provide.castiron.com. So these are, since you have the star, you can replace it with any valid URL there. Chart 8, please. So next, users can generate certificates outside of Cast Iron and then import them. So we have seen certificates in Cast Iron. Now we are going to see how we can import the certificates into the Cast Iron. For this, you need to understand the use case before you import the certificate into Cast Iron. Also, you need to understand which store, key store or the trust store, these certificates need to be imported. So as we discussed earlier, CA certificates, Cast Iron certificate authority certificates goes into trust store, and regular certificates goes into key store. A hint here is you can import PKCS12 files into the key store, and you can only import PAMSER or ADER or PKCS7 files into trust store. Basically, these PKCS12 files contain both the certificate and private key, and this private key is protected by a passcode. And PEM or SER, DER, PKCS files do not contain private keys. It has only certificates. They have only certificates. And PEM and SER are in clear text. They are cut and pasteable. DER is a binary file, and PKCS7 is binary chain of certificates. Chart 9, please. So here are some screenshots to import the certificates in cast iron. So the screenshot for the key store, the one in the top left corner. So you can click on the import button here, as shown in this screenshot, to import a new certificate into the key store. And also you can select one of the aliases names, and it will pop up the screenshot in the right-hand side here. So where you have an option at the bottom to upload a certificate to replace the one with a given alias. And to load certificates into the trust store, you can click on the import in the bottom left-hand side screenshot here. And chart 10, please. And here is a diagram to understand the relation between the certificates in the key store and the trust store. Here, the key store would have the private key and the public key pair of an associated certificate. As you can see in the end entity of the certificate shown in the key store, it has the issue 2 distinguished name, DN, is C, and the issued by DN is B. So there is an associated intermediate certificate in the trust store. So intermediate cert and root cert are issued by the certificate authority, and they need to be loaded into the trust store. So in this case, intermediate certificate has an issue to DN with B. That's how it associates. And here, in this case, there is only one intermediate cert. There could be more than one intermediate certs in any given case. And if you observe, this issued by DN for this intermediate cert is A, and the root certificate would have issued 2 with the DN A. And here the root certificate, you can see that issued 2 and issued by DNs are same. Basically, these root certificates are self-signed certificate. In order for cast iron to verify a received end entity certificate, the intermediate CA certificates in the chain, all the intermediate certificates along with the root certificate in the chain must be received from the server, or they should be present in the trust store. Chart 11, please. So, peer authentication. Cast iron can be either the client or the server in an SSL connection. So when either the client or server sends a certificate, the purpose is to identify itself to its peer. The recipient of the certificate in an SSL session is responsible for verifying the content. This is called peer authentication. And neither the client nor the server sends a certificate, the SSL session is called anonymous. Cast iron does not support this kind of method like anonymous SSL. And the other type is when both the client and the server sends a certificate, the SSL session is said to have mutual authentication. So if the SSL session is not anonymous, the server is required to send a certificate. And there is no client-only authentication method in SSL, whether it is a server authentication or a mutual authentication. So cast iron supports server authentication and mutual authentication in the SSL session. Chart 12, please. Here is an illustration of server authentication. As we discussed earlier, the server must authenticate itself to the client. So after the server hello and the client hello, the first two arrows, the server sends a certificate. So this is shown in the red arrow here. in this picture. So this initiates the SSL handshake. Chart 13, please. In the case of mutual authentication, after sending the server certificate, that is the third line, third arrow, which is the first red arrow here, the server also sends a client certificate request. And the client is required to send a certificate back. So all the red lines, red arrows here represents the certificate exchange. And later the rest of the handshake happens. Chart 14, please. So now let's see the various scenarios in the peer authentication that is supported by CASPERON. Number one, first scenario is a server authentication with CASPERON in the client role. So servers that CASPERON connects to must send certificate identifying themselves to CASPERON, since CASPERON is the client. So in order for CASPERON to verify the certificate, because it's the CASPERON's client's responsibility to verify the certificate received from the server, so the vPeer, verify peer checkbox must be checked in the client SSL row. So this screenshot here is taken from the WMC page, security certificates page. And this is the settings panel. You can find it at the bottom. And if the received certificate is self-signed, it must be imported into the trust store. Chart 15, please. So server authentication with CASPERON in the client role with the vHost option checked. So in this scenario, there is an option to verify the host. CASPERON can be configured to verify that the domain name contained in the certificate matches the host name in the URL so that CASPERON connected to. For example, a message is sent from CASPERON Cloud, which is cloud2.casperon.com. It would have the certificate that has the common name as cloud2.casperon.com or star.casperon.com if you think it is supposed to support more than one site. So this check is designed to prevent a man-in-the-middle attack. It is specified in RFC 2818, and this is called server identity. And this check can be enabled by checking the vHost checkbox on the client SSL row. Again, this is the same place. The screenshot shown here is taken from the WMC certificates page, SSL settings section. So the vPeer, here the vPeer, if you want to check the vHost, vPeer checkbox also must be checked, because if you check the peer, then only it makes sense to check if it is coming from a specific host. And then the certificate to be checked should have the common name field of the certificate subject field must contain a domain name. And this is the one in the URL. So the thumb of rule is that the server should have a certificate that is valid for every DNS name configured to point to it. This is in case if you have multiple domains needed to be supported. Chart 16, please. Next scenario is server authentication with CASPERON in the server role. So CASPERON must send a certificate identifying itself to clients. So this is called server authentication with CASPERON in the server role. So in order for CASPERON to send a certificate to clients, a certificate alias must be specified that matches into the key store. So a server certificate alias can be specified at the appliance level in the WMC in the server SSL over data necro. It's in the page, WMC page, security certificates settings panel. So in this screenshot here, the factory supplied identity is the certificate sent by Castan, which is in the server role. So a server certificate alias can also be specified at activity level in Studio. And always this takes precedence. The one says specified in the Studio activity takes precedence over the settings in WMC. And server SSL or data NIC route does not exist for Castan Live because Castan Live does not have the concept of data NIC. So the cloud certificate is the one sent out. Chat 17, please. And next scenario is mutual authentication with Castan in the client role. Some servers can be configured to require the client send a certificate identifying itself. This is called mutual authentication. So server sends a certificate and client also has to send a certificate. In order for Castan to send a certificate to the server, a certificate alias must be specified that matches the one in the key store. This can be done in the WMC page, the WMC security certificates page in the settings panel for the client SSL row. So here in the screenshot, a factory supplied identity, that is a certificate associated with the client SSL row. So a client SSL certificate alias can also be specified at the activity level in Studio. And as we discussed, this takes precedence if you have it as a different certificate in your orchestration. Chart 18, please. Next scenario is mutual authentication with Castan in the server role. So for the appliance, physical or hypervisor only, Castan can be configured to require the clients connecting to Castan send a certificate. This is called client authentication with Castan in the server role. So to establish this configuration, check the VPN checkbox on the server SSL over data NIC row. In Studio, you cannot configure this, so you cannot test this scenario, verify this scenario, and Castan Cloud doesn't have data NIC concept, so you cannot do this in the Castan Live as well. And here, if the certificate that the client sends to the Castan is self-signed, you must import the certificate into the trust store. Chart 19, please. So those are the four scenarios that we have seen. Now let's see, in this slide, it shows that SSL considerations for Studio. In Studio, when you try to verify the orchestrations communicating over SSL, it is a little bit different. So let's see what it is. WMC has a nice UI, but there is no interface in Studio for managing the key store and trust store. You must use the Java key tool commands from the command line. So by default, the key store and trust store are located in the security subdirectory of the Studio installation directory. And the default key store name is certs. And the default password is key store admin. And the default trust store name is CA certs, and the default password is change it. And there is no VPR or VHOS sections in Studio. Those options can only be enabled in the WMC. So you cannot test the scenarios of server authentication with CI in the client role. And for importing the certificates in Studio Key Store, see the Info Center link given here. So we have all the key tool commands that you need to execute in the information center, and you can use the link one link is for to load the certificates in the key store, and the other link is for to load the CA certificates into the trust store. Chat 20, please. And for live, there is no server SSL over data NIC row in the row, or server SSL over management NIC row in the WMC. Castor Live does not have the concept of data NIC and the management NIC. So that's the reason we don't have these options here. And the impact of this is live tenants cannot configure the mutual authentication with Castor in the server role. And the other thing is they cannot change the cipher strength or certificate alias with Castor in the server role. Chart 21, please. So now that we have know what is the proper configuration, let's see how to diagnose the problems related to TLS SSL issues. So this step one is to understand the scenario. Here, as you know now, that Cast Iron can be either a client or a server in the SSL session, but you need to identify the client information, such as if Cast Iron is the client, what is the IP address, what is the client platform, and what activity in your orchestration is used. Similarly, identify the server endpoint. Same as above, like if Cast Iron is the server, what is the IP address, what is the server platform, and what activity in your orchestration is used. And then determine the peer authentication scenario, whether it is server authentication or mutual authentication, since these are the two methods supported by Cast Iron. Right? And slide 22, please. Once you have identified the scenario, the part two is diagnose to isolate the issue. So here are the steps to isolate the cause based on each scenario. So the first scenario here is server authentication with Cast Iron in client role. So basically, servers that Cast Iron connects to must send a certificate identifying themselves to Cast Iron. And Cast Iron is a client, so it has to verify the certificate received from the server. For this, VPA checkbox must be checked in the certificate page, WMC certificate page, in the settings panel. Once you have checked this, obtain the server certificate, if possible. So if the server has a public HTTPS URL, you can use your browser to connect and view the certificate. Now, here is an example, a screenshot when I used IE. You can click on the lock kind of icon on the top right next to the URL. This allows you to view the certificate details, and this is the general details, and you can click on the View Certificate to see in more detail. And, that is in the bottom right-hand corner, a screenshot here. Slide 23, please. If the received certificate is self-signed, it must be imported into the Trust Store. Check if it is expired. And you can also see the details page of the certificate that shows it has some intermediate and root certificates here. So this happens if the server certificate if the first certificate is not self-signed. So you need to identify the chain of certificates involved, and including the root certificate, all the intermediate cert, and certificates for all the certificates in the chain must be stored in the Cast Iron Trust Store. Either when Cast Iron, in order for Cast Iron to verify the certificate, all the certificate chain must be sent by the server, or the intermediate and root certificates needed to be stored in the Trust Store. In this screenshot, we have one intermediate cert and root cert in this certificate chain. Chart 24, please. The problem isolation steps for scenario 2, which is a server authentication with Cast Iron in the server role. Well, Cast Iron must send a certificate identifying itself to clients. So a server certificate must be imported into the Cast Iron key store. check if it has expired. This server certificate alias can be specified at the appliance level in the WMC on the server SSL over data NIC row for the WMC security certificates page in the settings panel, and at the activity level in studio, and in the cloud, Castor and cloud, certificate is sent in the Castor and Live. And if the certificate is self-signed, it must be stored in the client store. If the certificate is not self-signed, identify the full chain of certificates and load all these certificates into the Castor and Trust store. While loading, check for any error messages, such as chain cannot be built, things like that. So you must import the certificates in the order as like the root certificate first and the intermediate certificates in the order they had specified in the chain. Chart 25, please. And next scenario is mutual authentication with Castern in the client role. Castern must send a certificate identifying itself to the server. So a certificate must be imported in the Castern key store. Check if it is expired. Since it is in the client role, it has to send the certificate in the mutual authentication. So this certificate alias can be specified at the appliance level in the WMC on the client SSL row in the same page, the certificates page, and at activity level in the studio. And if the client certificate is self-signed, it must be stored in the trust store. If it is not, you have to identify the full chain and load the certificates into the trust store. Chart 26, please. Next. Mutual authentication with Castern in server role. Basically, clients connecting to Castern must send a certificate. Server also sends certificates and client also need to send certificate in the mutual authentication. So basically to enable this configuration, check the VPR checkbox on the server SSL over data NIC row. And if the server certificate is self-signed, it must be stored in the trust store. And you check if it is expired. Most of the times we have seen that the certificate expires and causing the orchestrations to fail. And if the server certificate is not self-signed, identify all the certificates and load them in the trust store. Chart 27, please. So here is a different but related topic, which is crypto services. Support for PGP encryption and decryption was provided in Castern V7. So you can encrypt, decrypt the messages via PGP now, and you can import, store, and retrieve the keys and certificates used in the PGP encryption. It has its own key store to manage the keys. So you can import the certificates in the key store for studio using the key tool commands and on the appliance via WMC. So once you have the certificate, you can build the orchestration to use this feature. So in studio, you have in the activity panel, you can see the two new activities and its security functions. To encrypt the data, use the PGP encrypt activity. To decrypt the data, use PGP decrypt activity. You can configure the password and keys to use these activities. Chart 28, please. So in summary, to diagnose the SSL TLS issues, first understand the use case to identify the Castern role in SSL communication. And then determine the peer authentication scenarios. Determine which one of the four scenarios that we have discussed in this presentation. And then follow the problem isolation steps described based on the scenario. Use the browser and browser's Windows certificate viewer to examine the details of the certificate and try to obtain the certificate. These are to diagnose the issues with SSL. And for support for PGP encryption and decryption is available in V7. A point to note there. Chart 29, please. So for further reference in the product, here are some online resources. And with this, I conclude my presentation, and I give back control to Kathy for questions. Kathy?
Thank you, Vanny, for a great presentation. Now we will move on to the question and answer session. The next question that's in here is, can you please give me the email address of the presenter? The email and the first page of the presentation, it is there. It is vmadupu@us.ibm.com. So, Vanny, I think we have a question in group chat. It's from Kevin. Vpeer is used when you want to peer to send a certificate, and it's spelled P-E-E-R is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense, Vanny?
Yes, yes. I don't see that question, but you're saying like vpeer is the, so I'm just trying to repeat the question. So vpeer is the one we need to check when vpeer is used when you want the peer to send a certificate.
Yes.
That is the question. So basically, vpeer is used in the scenario server authentication with Castor in the client role. So basically, when Castor is in client role, it only verifies the peer. So that's always server sends the certificate, and the client verifies it. So this is just to verify when the certificate that is sent by the server, not when Castor needs to send the certificate. So vpeer stands for verify the peer. And I see one more question here. Vhost is when you want Castor to send certificate. Again, this is done, vhost is valid when Castor is in client role. So when always we need to remember that client server sends the certificate, and this is in the server authentication. And client only verifies the certificate in the server authentication. So here, the difference between just checking the vpeer and the vhost is that in the vpeer, you just check the certificate if it is valid or not. And in vhost, when you check, the common name has to match the URL that Castor is connected to. So basically, it has to come from the specific host that is mentioned in the certificate. This is defined in the common name. So it has, for example, in the common name, we have seen that star.cloud2.castiron.com. So that means if the Castiron is the client, then Castiron is the server, then when it is sending the certificate, it has to go from the URL cloud2.castiron.com.
I don't think I see anything else in the web conference.
No, we did not.
Okay. And nothing, I do not see anything new that's in the chat office. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation.